Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shem and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak at Shalom. We're now in Masechet Tmura Daf Gimel Amud Aleph near the bottom. And as I mentioned in the first podcast, there are two general issues which the Isur of Tmura brings up. One of them is the issue of a lav she'en bo ma'aseh. The fact is, our Mishnah says you get makot for Tmura even though you really didn't do anything. Let's take a look at how that is developed in this sugya. Amar Yehuda Marav, call us lo taseh batorah asaba maaseh chayav lo asaba maaseh patur. So if you don't have an action, then you are not liable for makot. Uchvalu de lavshin maaseh patur, is that really true as a general rule? Vari mimar de lavshin maaseh uvalaki, after all, tmura is different. Now Moshu Rishai lahamir l'shem emir mumar v'sofeket arbaim, quoting our Mishnah. So Amar Bachrav, Rav's answer could be, hamani Rabbi Yehuda hi, that perhaps our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. Damar lav shen b'maaseh lo kina lav, a very famous sugya about notar, and it's something that we'll see later on in our perek, invoking Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that lav shen b'maaseh lo kina lav. The problem is, how could we conjecture that Rav would defend his ruling because our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yehuda? After all, we said that our Mishnah is not Rabbi Yehuda. Tani Hakom Amirin, or what do we say about Hakom Amirin? Said it's to include a Yoresh against Rabbi Yehuda. So the answer is, Haitana Sava Leke Vatere Bechadad, Lav Shin Maaselo Kinalav, Upali Gali Bechadad, either Rabbi Yehuda Sava Yoresh Eno Somech, Yoresh Eno Mamir, Vatanan Sava Yoresh Somech, Yoresh Mamir. And so we have a later Tana authoring our Mishnah who accepts Rabbi Yehuda's ruling about Lav Shein Bo Maaseh, and therefore you get Makot. And on the other hand, he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda about the issue of Yoresh. Now, the problem with that, of course, is that leaves our Mishnah as stating that Lav Shein Bo Maaseh Lo Kina Lav, which is against the Halacha. And how could Rav then issue a ruling that's against that also? So we have a different way to look at it, which is developed over the sugya. So we have a braita going back to Rabbi Yossi Haglili. So far like Rav, except chutz minishba umemar umekalal chaviro b'shem. So the three exceptions to this rule are nishba, we'll see what kind of shvuah that is, memar, that's tmura, and if you curse somebody else using Shem Hashem, al pi shelo asa maaseh chayav. And then we have an addendum to the bright. The Mishum B'Yosef Chanina, who's of course an Amora Eretz Israeli, Amru afa makdim truma lebikurim. Also, if you take truma before bikurim, meaning you take your trumatum masrot out of order, and apparently that means you get makot for that also, even though there is no maaseh. We'll see how that develops, but let's go one by one. Nishba menalan. How do we know that you get makot for shvua? Which shvua is it? We will see. Yocham Mishum Rabbi Meir Amar Kra Ki Lo Yinakeh Adonai Tasher Yisad Shmo Lashav. In the Aseret HaDibrot, it says, "Do not take God's name in vain in an oath, because God will not cleanse anyone who takes His name in vain." Now, what's the pshat? Beitin Shalmala Ein Beitin. Shamala in Menakinoto, that means God does not Menaket, God does not cleanse you. HaBeitin Shamata Malakinoto Menakinoto, that means it's the job of Beitin below to give you Makot and to cleanse you and achieve atonement. So Amalei Papa Labaye turns to him and says, Ve'eim Alot Tevel Enikyut Klal, maybe it means there is no way out, there is no cleansing. Amalei, so Abaye's answer is, Imkein Lichtov Kral Lo Yinakeh, just say, Ki Lo Yinakeh. Lishtok Hashem Lamali, why does it say Lo Yinakeh Hashem? It's Beitin Shamala Hudein Malkinoto. It's God who won't cleanse you. Beitin Shamata Malkinut Malkinoto. Good. Now Ashkechan Shvuat Shav, all that tells me is for Shvuat Shav you get Makot. Shvuat Sheker Menalan. Now the truth is we would have been satisfied there. Because Rabbi Yosef Glili said that one of the exceptions is Zishba, we would say that Shvuat Shav. But we happen to know that Shvuat Sheker also means you take an oath. Now just to clarify the difference, and a Shvuat Shav means you take an oath using Shem Hashem in which you either commit to something, swear to something being true, which we know patently is false, or which everyone knows is true. Either way, it's Shvuat Shav. Shvuat Sheker is something that is not known to people but happens to be false. That Shvuat Sheker also carries Makot. So the answer is Rabbi Yochanan Didei Amar. So Rabbi Yochanan, remember, quoted Rabbi Yosef Glili. Now he offers the answer himself to how this extends to Shvuat Sheker. Lashav, Lashav, Shnei Pamim. Look at the key pasuk on the page, and you'll see the word Lashav appears twice in the Pasuk. And the second one is absolutely unnecessary. Im eino inyan l'shvuat shav, inyan l'shvuat sheker. It can't be there for shvuat shav itself, unnecessary. It must be there for the next closest thing, shvuat sheker, deloket. Okay, let's see how this works. Matkif to Rabbi Avahu. So Rabbi Avahu challenged Rabbi Yochanan. And he said, shvuat sheker echidami. What kind of shvuat sheker do you get makot for? In madamar, remember, shvuat sheker has four types. You commit to do something and you don't. You commit not to do something and you do. You swear that you did something and you didn't. You swear that you didn't do something and you did. So let's see. In madamar shelo ochal ve'achal. You say, I swear I'm not going to eat something and you do. Hatam wasavad. You get makor because you did an action. You're not chayiv for the shvuah, you're chayiv for the eating. Ela da'amar she'ochal v'lo ochal. If you commit to do something and you don't do it, I commit to eat and I don't eat. Ha'humi lakim, in that case you don't get makot. Va'it mar shvuah she'ochal kikar ze'ayom v'yavar yom v'lo ochal. If you have a commitment to eat the particular loaf of bread today, and the day goes and you don't eat it, they agree you don't get makot for different reasons. It is a lav she'in bo ma'aseh, which means it's not an exception to our rule. And this goes to the whole issue of notar and several other areas. Rabbi Shlomo Lakish says it's a hatrat safek because when we warn you, don't avoid eating it, well, a minute later he could eat it. So, the whole law of hatra'at safek, and look at all, you can't get malkot for a hatra'ah, which itself is an insufficient hatra'ah. So, that can't be. It must be when you take an oath about the past. I did eat, you didn't really, or I didn't eat, and you did really. No, my shadda kamarab achalti v'lo achalti, miyochav v'lo achal. So why do we think that the pasuk that extends lashav a second time to sheker is only extending it about the past and not about the future? And why are we not willing to say, against Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, you should get makot for a commitment to do something and you failed to do it? The answer is, amarab b'fer shubta Torah sheker dom lashav, because the Torah extended sheker in the context of shav as an extra shav. Mashav l'shevar, shvuat shav is about something in the past, meaning something that already exists. Either you said, I saw a telephone pole that was standing in the street, and standing on a sidewalk, which is shvuat shav, because we all know it to be true. Or I saw a telephone pole flying around, flapping its wings, which we know is false. Av sheker l'shevar, therefore the sheker that's parallel to it, that is included for makot, or extended to makot, must be something in the past. Now, Eit Rabbi Yemiel, Rabbi Avahu, watch this very famous challenge to that take of Rabbi Avahu. Shua shaloch ha-garzu, shua shaloch lana, shua shaloch lana. The sugya in Shvuot says, if you take an oath that you won't eat this loaf, I won't eat this loaf, I won't eat this loaf, so you might think that if you violate it, you're chayiv three times. And the answer is you only chayiv once. Good. But that, the part we care about is Vizoi Shvuat Bitui. That's an example of Shvuat Bitui. Shechayavin Az Donam Makot, Yashigata Korban Olev Yored. That if you do it on purpose, you chayav Makot, and if you did it by accident, because you forgot about it, then you chayav on the sliding scale Korban Olev Yored, depending how wealthy you are. Now, Zohi Limute Maim, saying this is the kind of oath where you chayav that. What's that excluding? Isn't that saying, when you make a commitment to not do something and you violate it by doing it, then you get makot. But if you made an oath that you didn't do something and you did it, or vice versa, you don't get makot. So you see, you don't get makot for the past. So, well, that might not be what it's excluding. Remember, it's saying, here is a case where A, B, and C apply. And this is the only case where A, B, C, and C apply. So that means in other cases, one of them doesn't apply. Who says it's makot? Zuid al shingata, mighty korban, maybe it means, this is the case where if you did it b'shogeg, you bring a korban. But if you made an oath about the past that it turned out you were lying, and you were shogeg because you forgot that you had done the thing, or not done the thing, you don't bring a korban. Umani, so then who does it follow? So go back to the first sugya in Masachat Shvuot, Rabbi Ishmaeli, Damar Enochayev Alatid Lavor, Yishron and Rabbi Kiva agree that you get Makot B'mezid, but they disagree about whether you have to bring a Korban B'shogeg about a Shvuah about the past. Rabbi Ishmael says you're not, only about the future. Have a Milkalaki. That's all fine and dandy, except Ema Seifa, the Seifa of that statement in Shvuot is Zoe Shvuot Shav. Another example is Shvuat Shav, Shachavina Zdona Makot Val Shigat HaPatur. B'meizid Yochayim Makot, B'shogeg nothing. Zoli L'mutei Mai, what's that excluding? Lav L'mutei Achalti V'lo Achalti V'lo Laki, again, isn't that excluding the past where you don't get Makot? Lo, Zoli Dal Shigat HaPatur Mikorban. This is the case where you're Patur from a Korban. B'shogeg, Aval Achalti V'lo Achalti Maiti Korban. Which is the opposite of what we just said. Umani Rabbi Akiva. This follows Rabbi Akiva, the Marmavin Korban the Shavar. Rabbi Akiva versus Rabbi Shmuel says that you do bring a Korban for a Shvuat Sheker about the past. I Vamat Reish Rabbi Shmuel. You just said the Reish is Rabbi Shmuel. So how could that Mishnah be half Rabbi Shmuel, half anti Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva? Elim, to say for Rabbi Akiva, Reish Anam Rabbi Akiva. It must be that the entire thing is Rabbi Akiva. The Reisha was not excluding of the past from Korban. Meaning, if you say I won't eat and you do, you're chayiv. But if you say I will eat and you don't, you're pater. And we all know you're pater. It makes sense because we're talking about an oath about the future, in which you commit not to do something and you do it, you're chayiv. So it's memayit, the opposite about the future. When you commit to do something, you don't do it. Then you're patur. Kai b'lahab amayit shalavar makes sense. You're not going to be talking about the future and then say zohi to say a case in the past is patur. Okay, very good. So now we've established what nishpa is. Now, meymar, what do we do with meymar? Amar le Rabbi Yochanan netana lo titni meymar. Rabbi Yochanan says, take meymar out of your braita. The Braita of Yosei Glili, or Rabbi Yochanan, remember, was the one who reported it. He said to the Tana, take it out. Mishum de b'dibur ha-samasa. The reality is that when you said, zeh tachat zeh, this animal's for that one, you did do a maaseh, because now that animal was chulin, is now hektish. So that's called a maaseh. So he says, Meymar is not an exception to the rule. Meymar fits the rule, because you did a maaseh, that's why you get makot. Which, of course, then destroys the problem that we had with Rav originally. Okay, that's the third one. Makal Chaver B'Shem Menalan. How do we know that if you curse somebody else using God's name, that it's also Chayav Makot? Amar Balazar, Amar B'Shaya, Amar Kra, Im Lo Tishmor. Now, in the curse given at the end of Sefer Dvarim, it says, if you do not guard to fear Hashem's name, which we assume means, if you don't, look at the whole pasuk, if you don't, aren't careful to follow the mitzvot, which means you don't fear God, but the way we're reading it is, if you are not careful about God's name, meaning an oath, or using God's name wrongly. Uchtiv, what does it say? The punishment is in the next pasuk. Vihifla donait makotcha. God will make your plagues wondrous, meaning things that we're not even willing to express. But we're going to now play it out and say that Hifla Hashem makotcha is really alluding to a particular makah. I don't know which hafla it is. We're going to play with the word hafla'a with something that sounds like it, but it's not at all related etymologically. In the parsha of Makot, it says that the shofet has him lie down or lean over and he hits him. So you have haka'a and he pilo, he fla at makotcha, aha, haviomer, hafla'azu makot. So using a little midrashic license, we end up saying that the hafla'a alluded to in the punishment for imlotishmor is makot. Good. So all we see from here is that there's some sort of makot administered for misuse of God's name besides shvua that we already covered. So emar filu shvua temet. So maybe that means if you take an oath using God's name, even if it's true, maybe you get makot. The answer is no. Behediktiv shvata adonai tiyaben shneihem. We know that when a Shomer Chinam claims that something was stolen from him, and the Mafkid challenges him, he has to, Shomer has to take a Shvuah, it's called Shvuah HaShomerim, and that's a mitzvah in the Torah. So I can tell me he's doing a mitzvah in the Torah, and he's going to get Makot. So Eimar, Hani Mila Feis Tachavero. So the answer, and it's a very strange answer, is maybe the Torah says, look, you want to make the guy feel better, give him a Shvuah so that he'll know that you're telling the truth, but Milkalaki, you still get Mako for using God's name in a Shvuah. So Lo Matzidamit, you can't say that. Taktiv, Shvoti Shavea, there's a mitzvah in the Torah to be Nishpa, B'Shem Hashem. How can you say you get Mako for doing a Shvuah when Beit Din administers it and then you're saying the truth? The answer is Ahumi Baile the Chirav. No, Vishmot Tishaveh is there for something else. The Amar of Gidol Amar Rav, Minayin Shnishpayim the Kaimet the Mitzvot. How do we know? And the Sugya Nedarim says, a person who says, tomorrow I'm going to get up and learn Perek X, you're chayiv to do it. Neder gadol nadol l'Elohei Yisrael. Based on this, how do we know that you could take a shvua to exhort yourself to do mitzvot, even though a shvua is not chal on a mitzvah? You can't say, I'm nishpa to eat matzah on Pesach night, because you're already mushpa v'omen merit Sinai. But you can push yourself. The Ran explains in the Nedarim and in Shvuot that it means you can push yourself to do something where there's a general mitzvah, but the specific details aren't outlined. You could commit yourself to those details, like learning a particular subject in Torah. Shenamar nishpati v'akayem u'vishmo mishpatei tzidkachos. The pasuk etilim kuf yotet, but it's anchored in u'vishmo tishavea. The answer is aktiv k'rachrina. There's another u'vishmo tishavea in Parshat Ekev. U'tidvak u'vishmo tishavea. All right? So therefore, Bishmo Tishaveya, the first time you could say is used to say you could push yourself to do a mitzvah by taking a shvua. Bishmo Tishaveya, the second time, is telling you there's a mitzvah to take Binishma V'Shem Hashem when you're telling the truth. So you can't get makot for that. It's not just to make the other guy feel good, it's a proper mitzvah. So therefore, when it says misuse of God's name will get you makot, that's talking about Makal Chaver B'Shem. It can't be talking about Shvuat Shav and Shvuat Sheker, because that's already covered. Okay. Why don't I just say if somebody misuses God's name? And Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatola doesn't mean when you're learning Torah and you may say God's name, but rather you just misuse it in an inappropriate way and use it for no purpose. The answer is Migar Makal Chavero B'Shem Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatola. Think about this. When you curse somebody else, you're also being Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatola. The answer is Anan Hachi Kakashalan. Our question is as follows. Maybe when you just misuse God's name, and I don't mean to say only or merely here, but that's what they're saying. When you just misuse God's name, so then you get makot. I'm a kal chaver or b'shem. But when you curse somebody else using God's name, you did two things. Kevin de kavitarti. First of all, you misused God's name. You're also troubling, you're also harassing your friend. Maybe makot aren't good enough for you. The answer is, lo matzit amrit. That you can't say. Why? Dichtiv lo tekalel cheresh. The Torah gives a warning against cursing somebody. Lo tekalel cheresh. You're not allowed to curse a deaf man. What that means is you can't curse anybody, even a deaf man. So if you understand that the Torah is giving the punishment for cursing somebody else, so we have the warning, and you have the punishment. But where is there a warning where the Torah says you can't use God's name for naught? It says you have to fear God and you have to worship Him. Fearing God means you can't use His name improperly. The answer is Ahu Azaratasehu. That's not a law where the Torah says don't do it. That's saying you have to fear God. One of the manifestations of fearing God is not misusing His name. But that doesn't work technically and formally as an azhara, such that you could say then the punishment would be in place. So there can't be a punishment for Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatola, because there is not a formal azhara. Okay, the add-on to the Braita was Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina. So Mishum Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina Amru Afamaktim Truma L'Bikurim. Said that if you take truma before bikurim, you get makot. That's what it seems like. My Tamid Rabbi Yosef Chanina, what's his reasoning? Amar kra me'atcha v'dim achalo te'acher. In Parshat Mishpatim it says, you should not delay bringing me'atcha v'dim acha. And what's the drasha? Mle'a elu bikurim. That's referring to bikurim. V'dim acha v'lashon dimua. That is truma. Rashi explains that as soon as the thing is full, so then you bring bikurim, so mle'at cha. Okay. V'amra lo ta'acher. The Torah says lo ta'acher. You can't bring it late. And the way we're darshaning it, bring it late here, means you can't bring it in the wrong order. Meaning bringing bikurim after truma. They have to go in the right order. Okay. Good. Itmar, watch this. Hikdim truma bikurim. If you took truma out of order, which is exactly our case, so we have now machloka between second generation Amorae Eretz Yisrael. Chadamar loker, v'chadamar eino loker. One said you get makot, one said you don't. It should be a no-brainer that Rabbi Yosef Chanina is the one who said you get makot, because we just read that. Zayim Rabbi Yosef Chanina ta'u damar loker. Rabbi Chanina, v'maktim trumah levikoyim. Adrabba, we got a problem. Tistam Rabbi Lazar who damar loker. It's Rabbi Lazar who, why? Because we have this somewhat complex piece. None. Say Mishnah and Truma. I'll tell you the fun of Shtekakalot Shel Tevel. You have two baskets of Tevel, absolute Tevel. You haven't taken Truma to Masrot from anything. Marsha Shozubazu, and you say the Masrot of the produce in basket A are in basket B. Harushana Moseret, that A is good, you can eat it. And now take everything from B. Shozubazu Vishozubazu. Now you get it confused, and you said the Masrot of A are in B, and the Masrot of B are in A. Harushana Moseret. The first one is good because you said that first. Shneina Museret. The second one's no good because you're now being taking from Chiyuv al Aptur. From Ptur al Chiyuv. Masroteim Maser Kal Kalab Chaverta. But if you say A and B are Masrot, are now taken from each other, Kalat Hashem. Then it works. And then you gotta go take Masrot from each one. V'itmar, that's the Mishnah. But now, Rabbi Lazar Omer, what's Rabbi Lazar's comment on it? Lokem im neshikti maser sheni shavah maser rishon shema chaverta. Rabbi Lazar said, yes, it works, but you get makot because you ended up taking maser sheni from one before you took maser rishon from the other one. Which means you were mocked, you went out of order. Because you did all the masrot from one and then all the masrot from the other. So maser sheni of this was before maser rishon of that. Tistayim. So you see that Rabbi Lazar says if you take Masrot out of order, you get Makot. But now we got a problem because we now have a good source that tells us that Rabbi Yosef Chanina says you get Makot, a good source that says Rabbi Lazar says you get Makot, and a good source that says they disagreed about whether you get Makot. So it sounds like Rabbi Yosef Chanina, we've identified a contradiction in his words. The answer is no. Rabbi Yosef Chanina aptur kai. Rabbi Yosef Chanina said that he wasn't talking about the liability, he was talking about the exemption. We said when you, any mitzvah, any lotah say that there's no action, there's no makot, and he adds, v'akamar, lav shem masay, lo kin alav, you don't get makot for one that has no action. Even maktim tshuva lebikurim, which has an action, you still don't get makot. Let's see why. So why do you get makot for tmura? Because when you did something, you changed its status. And as you said, now both animals are hektish. You change the status, that's called a maisa. So maktim tmura lebikurim nami loki. So it should be the same thing. Because after all, when you said, this is tmura, you made it tmura. Then when you said, this is bikurim, you made it bikurim and did it out of order. So it should be count. Ravin, Shani Atam Dalavshin Daklasehu, because when it comes to Truman Bikurim, it's a Lavshin Daklasehu, which is, after you messed it up, you could still give everything to the right person. Take the Bikurim Rishalayim, give the Truman to local Kohen. Fin Mikol Masrot Techem Tarimu, and the Torah says, give all of your Trumot and Masrot. Okay. Yati Ravdimu Kamala Shmata. So Ravdimu was sitting in Pumbadita, and he repeated this entire discussion from Eretz Yisrael. Amar Abaye turned to him and said, "V'cholav shintaklase lo laki, you don't get makot for a lav shintaklase, a lav that has an asay, a reparative asay. V'ameimar lav shintaklase, back to tmura. In tmura is a lav shintaklase, don't do it. And if you do it, bring the most of the carbon for laki. Then none, hosha v'shadar mel, shimi amir, homi, umar safekat arbaim. Havelu tre lav yuchadase. The answer is, lo yamir oto v'leachlifenu. Lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir oto. I switch the order. Is two lavim and one asay. V'lati chad asay v'akar tre lavi. So the one asay of bringing it doesn't uproot your liability for two lavs. So you still get makot for one of the lavs. That's not really true. V'arei ones, a guy who commits ones, and he's supposed to stay married to this girl now, and then he divorces her. D'chad lav v'chad asay. The lav is lo yuchal l'shalcha, you can't divorce her, and the asay is lo tiyad l'sha, he has to marry her. And the one I say doesn't knock out the lav. Well, why do I know that? The Tanya Onesh Shigiresh. If you have an Ones and then he divorces her, in Yisrael, if he's a non-Kohen, Machzer Vein Aloke, he should remarry her, not get, he can't get Makot. Kohen, but he's a Kohen, which means he can't marry her back. Loka Vein Machzer, he gets Makot and he doesn't take her back. And therefore it proves that the Asay of marrying her does not trump the lav. and instead he just and the lava of a kohen marrying a grusha. Kohanim come out. You bring a wife from Kohanim. Kohanim time achrinu. They have a whole different reason. Rachmana kedusha yitera. They have a whole a surplus of kedusha and surfeit of mitzvot and limitations and restrictions. And therefore, you can't bring a raya from them. All right. So this entire issue of getting makor for alav shintakla say is a machloket tanaim. Kedetanoi lo yashir menorat boker. The Torah says you cannot really lototiru menorat boker. You cannot leave the korban pesach over till morning. And the next part says, anything left over till morning, burn up in fire. In the fire. Why does it say that extra thing? Because we already know that anything that is pasul of kodshim has to be burned up. The text is coming in order to give you an asay after the lav. To tell you, you don't get makor for notar. You leave the korban past its time, you don't get makor for that. Tiv Rabbi Yehuda. Which means Rabbi Yehuda says, really you would get makor for notar even though it's a lav shein bo maaseh. And we saw this referenced earlier, because that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. But since the Torah said, here's what you do if you blow it, you burn it up, therefore, there's no makor. Rabbi Yaakov said, right, halacha, wrong reason. Shunav lav shein bo maaseh. It's because it's a lav without any action. After all, you just sat there and let the clock tick. And any lav shen mama said, there is no makot for that. Okay? So we can infer from that, Rabbi Yehuda says, that there is makot for a lav shen mama said, and we know that to be the case. Okay, very good. So now the last question is, why did according to Rabbi Yaakov, why is there the end of the pasuk? What do you do with all the notar and the bones and the sinews of the korban pesach that can't be eaten? You burn them on the 16th in the morning. Meaning, remember, you shechted the pesach on the 14th in the afternoon. You ate it on the 15th at night, all night. Or till midnight, machloket. And then when do you burn the extra? Not the next morning, but the morning after that. Chal shishas al yom Shabbat, and if Pesach was on a Friday, meaning Pesach was on a Thursday, and first day Yontov was on a Friday, you would wait until Zafu b'Shivasa. You burn it on Sunday, which is Shiva the 17th. Why? V'she'en dochin lot Shabbat v'lot Yom Tov. You do not do Srefat Nota on Shabbat Yom Tov. V'machizkiya v'chintan v'chizkiya. My Tama. So Chizkiya said, what's the reason for that? Because look at the pasuk. It says, do not leave over until boker. And it should say, anything left over you burn. Why does it say, to give us a second morning, meaning you burn it the next morning after that. And that's according to Rabbi Yaakov, why that second half of the phrase is there. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We're going to tackle the second interesting problem that Tmura raises over the course of the next two podcasts. But in the meantime, we will conclude and wish everybody a wonderful day.